man, Caleb, right there. He brought them all to church tonight. They wouldn't have come if it hadn't been for him. But I appreciate these ladies. This family's been a blessing to me. And I've got some camp meeting flyers here. Have camp meeting. Starts Father's Day. Any preacher that comes, we'll put you in a motel room, feed you twice a day. You'll hear some good preaching and singing. If it's all right, preacher, I'm going to just lay these down here. You can look at them. Starts Father's Day and goes for 2 weeks. And we'd just be tickled to death to have you come. Meeting an open air arbor. Up home, it always gets hot. Most of the time during camp meeting. Here lately, we've been having 70 and 75 degree weather. Some of them was sort of concerned we wouldn't be able to have camp meeting because it's too cold. But seem like all that's gone out the window now. So we're going to have camp meeting. Amen. I'm going to sing an old song we've sung through the years. A flat. Let's go back to our Father's birth. All right. Let's go back, all go back to our Father's praying ground. Let's go back, all go back on bended knee. Too far away we have strayed, now and then a soul is saved. Let's go back to our Father's praying ground. In this modernistic day, we have strayed so far away from our Father's camp meeting and praying ground. Well, then fast and pray all day, and let God have His way back there at that old praying ground. All go back to our Father's praying ground. Let's go back, all go back home, bended knee. Too far away we have strayed, now and then a soul is saved. Let's go back to our Father's praying ground. Through the country they would ride with their children by their side, through the cold and through the rain, just the same. Going to the house of the Lord, where they'd bow in one accord, saying, come ye who love the Lord in Jesus' name. Oh, let's go back. All go back to our Father's praying ground. Let's go back. All go back home, bended knee. Too far away we have strayed. Now and then a soul is saved. Let's go back to our Father's praying ground. I appreciate them being here tonight. These folks have been a blessing to me through the years. And I'm grateful that I have been able to meet some people on this side of the river. And I appreciate them coming. I appreciate Brother Amon and Francis Peters being with us. Appreciate Brother Vermin, Tracy Palmer being here. Good to see Seth and Silas. Better half sitting right there. appreciate them coming to be with us in the services and others that may be visiting here tonight. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to be turning to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. These are the verses that are on my heart tonight. Some of you may have heard this message before, but I dare say you probably heard Amazing Grace sung at least two times in your life. I've come to, I want to challenge our lives through the Word of God. You know, I went to the motel last evening, and this morning I was studying on those scriptures I preached last evening. And when the Lord appeared to Joshua, Joshua was not convinced as to who this soldier was by just having a sword drawn. But Joshua was convinced who the Lord was when he spake his word. And I'm here to tell you, his word has authority and power. I know that I am forgiven of my sin, not because I feel like it, but I'm glad this word of God authorizes it. This Bible assures me that it has been taken care of. And I'm not so much interested in what he may hold in his hand, but when he has something to say, that ought to be the convincing factor to assure us who he is and what he is able to do. But if you're willing and able, I would ask that you stand at the reading of God's word tonight. Verse number 9 and verse number 10. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose, that is, Eleazar arose, and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. You can be seated tonight. Most of this chapter is devoted to tell us who David's mighty men were. Men who served in the capacity of leadership. Men who had exhibited courage, loyalty, faithfulness, dedication. Eliezer is such a man. There are many in the church today that think that a gold spoon should be put in their mouth just because they're a member of the church. That they should have free run to any position of leadership that arises. But I find in this chapter that there is a principle that is found throughout the scriptures that first one must show themselves worthy. One must prove their faithfulness and their loyalty before being given a position of leadership and authority. I just hate to bust your bubble tonight, but just because God called you to preach doesn't mean that you ought to mount the pulpit and pastor the largest church in the county. One must be able to prove themselves and walk before God. Eliezer was that kind of a man. This that I've read is the feat or the deed that convinced David that Eliezer was worthy of being one of David's mighty men. There was a battle ensuing. The Philistines had gathered together. The men of Israel were gone away. But alongside David, Eliezer battles the enemy until he becomes so weary he cannot wield his sword one more time. But the Lord wrought a great victory for Eliezer and Israel that blessed day. I realize tonight Eliezer had three options. Number one, he could have done like most of the men of Israel. He could have retreated. That's what they did. It said, and the men of Israel were gone away. That meant they had retreated to higher ground. They had retreated to safer territory. Did you know that some in the church have chosen to retreat? There was a time when they were on the front pew of the Amen corner. They were in the thick of the battle. They were fighting the enemy. They were faithful to every service. But somehow or another, they've fallen back. Their zeal is not as fervent. Their faithfulness is not as evident. They have drifted in their Christian experience. They have ebbed their way backward instead of moving forward. He could have retreated. There's another option Eliezer had. He could have surrendered. He could have waved the white flag and said, I surrender, and become a captive to the Philistines to live a life of servitude and slavery for the rest of his days. But Eliezer did not choose to surrender, neither did he choose to retreat. Did you know there are a lot of folks in the church house that have surrendered? They've given way to the burdens of life. They've washed their hands. They've given up. You used to find them in the prayer room. You used to see them in the choir. They used to be here on prayer meeting night. They used to wouldn't miss a revival meeting. But somehow or another, the loads of life have become so heavy. And the cares of life have become
burden so heavy, they've just given up. They've surrendered to their enemies. And there's a lot of folks in the Baptist church. They may be sitting on the church pew every Sunday morning and night, every prayer meeting night, but they have surrendered to the feelings of envy and jealousy. They have become captivated by hate and malice. They're holding grudges in their heart, not able to forgive their brother or their sister for things that happened 25 years ago, things that never can be changed. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to live a life of servitude to bitterness or hate. There's a third option.
Yes, bless him, Lord.
That's what Eliezer chose to do. He chose to fight. He chose to wield his sword. Now, I'm not talking about fighting against ourselves or fighting amongst ourselves. The Baptists know how to do that well. Seem like it's embedded in us and it's part of our fiber. But I'm not talking about fighting one another. I'm not talking about working against the man of God. I'm talking about fighting the good fight of faith. We're fighting powers and principalities that are unseen tonight. There's a world out there going to hell. There's people that need spiritual deliverance. We don't have time to grumble and gripe at one another when our children are on drugs and their minds are being destroyed and their bodies are being decayed. Hey, we need some Eliezers tonight that'll fight the good fight of faith. Three things I want to say and I'll be done. About Eliezer. Number one, I want to say something about the sovereign who had triumphed. The sovereign who had triumphed in Eliezer's life. It's there in verse number 9. The Bible said that he was one of the three mighty men with David. David is the sovereign. He's the commanding general. He is the king of Israel. He has led an example for Eliezer. He has set the pace. He has lived a pattern to challenge the life of Eliezer. Aren't you glad that God has put people in the path of our Christian experience that have challenged us in our spiritual progress? David was Eliezer's mentor. David was Eliezer's hero. David had triumphed over many obstacles in his life. He had been victorious. He had been undefeated. He had lived a life of victory. And denied his life, challenged Eliezer's life. I'm glad God put some people in my life that make me want to pray, make me want to preach, make me want to worship, make me want to serve a risen Savior. Some of them have already crossed the River Jordan and they've gone home to the other side. Some are still living and their bodies have grown feeble and old. And tonight their lives still challenge me from day to day as I think about it. There were two especially in my Christian development as a young preacher and as a young Christian. was a man in my home church by the name of Norris Bumgarner. Nobody knows who he is. He was one of the deacons of our church. He was a little man, a sawmiller by trade. His job was cutting down the trees. Hard worker, loved God. He was my intermediate Sunday school class teacher. And in my early days, before the new church was built, our class met in the old cement basement of the church. And every time we had a good rain, it would flood the basement. I remember going to Sunday school many times on Sunday morning, and you'd have to step across the puddles just to get to your Sunday school class.
Amen.
Most Baptist folk wouldn't do that today. They'd gripe and grumble and complain.
Yeah.
But when we finally got in that class,
yeah,
I really don't remember much he ever taught. He was not an eloquent teacher, but I'm here to tell you, he knew how to pray. And there's a lot of Sunday mornings we'd gather in there. He'd read the scripture, and he'd say, "Fellas, we're going to have a word of prayer." And he'd go to praying, and heaven would open up, come down in that little cold basement room, and God would light up the place in the shirt. The junior boys class next to us, and Roy would come in, the teacher, open the door, and put in his big foot, and he'd say, "Glory to God."
Yes,
I said, "Oh, that's about the Bible." But I did learn a lot of that praying.
Yes.
And now his life challenged me to call on the Lord. Dressed to the teeth, had her hair up in a some commitment. We need some folks that will throw in the towel and say, this is where God put me. I'm a joining with ranks with this local assembly. I'm going to identify myself with a Welcome Grove Baptist Church.
Yes.
Serve the Lord through this local assembly and be glad God put me.
Yes.
Commitment. There's another secret.
comes along, and people kept him, the church kept him along, and he was looking for jobs, had many interviews. During those 6 months, nobody would ever hire him. They were always hiring people within their own ranks, the company's ranks, which every company does that. The very week that McKay got drawn his last sign of Jesus, a check.
to marinate that meat, to enhance its flavor, to give it a savory taste. Aren't you glad the Lord can enhance the flavor?
Yes.
I'm sure that there's none of you here tonight got up this morning and decided you want to start your day off with a cup full of self-rising flour. I doubt very seriously in y'all have that. And I doubt very seriously you got up this morning with a hankering to drink you a cup of vegetable. Some of you might have drunk some mineral water. That vegetable oil is just not on my diet. Now, some of you might have done this. You might have come up this morning and poured you a cool glass of milk. But when my wife mixes them together, when she rocks them together, when she works them together, it turns out to be something that is savory, something that has an aroma that arouses my eating habit. And I love to eat them biscuits. What I'm just trying to say, the Lord wrought a great victory that day. He took some ingredients when taken by themselves when it brought utter defeat to Eliezer. But I'm glad he took the forces of the Philistines and it took the fear of the Israelites and the fewness of the warriors. All of those individually would have drowned their efforts. But God worked them all together and God brought about a great victory. I'm glad the Lord can take the bitter attitude of others and the burdens of life and the brokenness of your heart. Each one of them will defeat you, but God can work them together. God can mix them together and bring about victory in your life. God's looking for some Eliezers, some soldiers who will be true. Some men and women that would be leaders. Tonight, God's calling on you to be an Eliezer. Some of you need to be a David for some of these younger Christians. And some of you younger Christians need to follow in the footsteps of your spiritual heroes and follow their path in life. God's looking for some Eliezers to be mamas and daddies and Sunday school teachers and deacons and singers in the choir. He's looking for an Eliezer. Would you stand tonight while I sing this old song? He's speaking to you tonight.
Here, Heavenly Father, we come to you once again tonight. Thank you, Lord.
One day, as I was thinking of unseen things above, the Savior spoke unto me, and He filled me with His love. Now I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to have some people who walked with me, but since I've been converted, you know they turn their backs on me. But I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Now some say, give me silver. Some say, give me gold. But I say, give me Jesus, who saved my dying soul. For I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Now give me this gospel trumpet, and I'll sound it wherever I can. It'll carry me home to Jesus, yonder in that glory land. I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I challenge you tonight to be an Eliezer. These were men who went beyond the norm. They reached for something a little further. They dug a little deeper. They were not satisfied just to be in the ranks of the army. They wanted to excel. They wanted to lead men into battle. Be an Eliezer for some young Christian. Pray with the Holy Ghost on your life. It'll make him want to pray. I remember one Sunday morning, there's a Methodist preacher visiting my home church. He's one of them old-fashioned Methodist preachers. My pastor called on him to pray. I remember sitting up here in the choir area. He bowed on the side aisle against the window and went to praying, and heaven just swung open. And I've been
prayed in such a manner, it made me want to pray that way. It challenged my life.
Amen.
Right, be an aid for somebody's life. Be an aid. That's the burden of my heart tonight.